5827. There are three, count them, 1, 2, 3 free lines, which is rare, I will tell you. So if you're interested in jumping in, now may be a good time for you to exercise that option. Shall we jump right back into phone calls, or do you want to do Geek Speak of the Week and our free download of the week and that kind of thing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let us. Every week we try to talk about, bring you, and arm you with some information, some Geek Speak, something to help battle those geeks, those bad boys of technology that talk down to you, that make you feel stupid. Those geeks. And so we're going to bring you something we call our Geek Speak of the Week. Chad, take it away.
Geek Speak of the Week this week is spoofing.
Spoofing?
Spoofing.
You know, my boy comes in sometimes when the lights are off in a room and says, "Dad, it's spooky." Does that have anything to do with spoofing?
Negative.
Negative. All right.
Spoofing is pretending to be someone else. Spoofing is often used in congruence with phishing scams where the hacker will impersonate.
Incongruence with.
Right.
You look like at that? You with your prepositional phrase, if that's what it is. I don't know if that's what it is.
I don't know.
It sounded like a good thing.
But, hackers will...
When you say phishing, you do not mean with a fishing rod, reel, pole, whatever you want to call it. You mean...
Phishing, P-H.
Right. Yes. Which is like luring, thus the term phishing, right?
Sure.
Luring people into things that they think are legit, like a bank supposedly, quote-unquote, sending out emails saying, come to this website and put in all your vitals. Because we need you to confirm your account, which your bank would never do. That's called phishing. That's luring you into stuff. And sometimes they'll do that from spoofed addresses.
In fact, any big organized phishing scam is going to be spoofed.
Any real hacker would spoof and fish simultaneously.
Spam.
Or incongruency.
Spammers also usually spoof their email address also. So
that if you reply to them, you're not actually replying to them. You're replying to an innocent third party that was the victim of spoofing.
Right, or it's a total dead end.
Right.
But so that's spoofing. Anyway, download of the week this week is Photo Mosaic.
Photo Mosaic, for those of you that maybe took lots and lots of pictures during the holidays and want to try something kind of cool with one or two of them?
Sure. The program's pretty simple. Basically, what you do is you can take all of those pictures you have, some of them that may be pretty insignificant by themselves.
Maybe they're a little bit boring because they just barely got the picture of what you wanted.
Right.
But maybe there's something cool there, and we have a way to redeem that picture.
Right. You can use it.
Because every picture should be redeemed.
Right. So you pick one that you really like,
mm-hmm.
and then you take all those others, and you tell Photo Mosaic, make a mosaic using all my pictures of this one picture that I really like.
Right, and for those of you that don't remember third grade, a mosaic is most commonly associated with like tiles where they break a bunch of tiles and then put all the little pieces back together to make like a picture. And maybe they did it with, I remember back in, maybe it was third grade, I don't know, but it was, I think, a hole punch. You took a bunch of construction paper and you made a bunch of the little, little dots that get everywhere and make a mess.
Right.
You basically make a bunch of those dots and then you glue them onto something. And when you look at it up close, there's nothing there. But when you step back 2 feet, there's a picture, sort of.
It's cool.
As much of a picture as a third grader can make. But that was a mosaic, and we're talking about doing that digitally with some photos that you've taken and this cool little piece of software
your
that you
computer
can download.
Does it, the whole thing. You don't even have to do anything.
If you want to read more about that Geek Speak of the Week, actually there's nothing more to read, but if you just want to read it for your own two eyes, you can do that or download that free download of the week at our website, which is, Chad?
datadoctors.com/radio.
Oh, slash radio. Or you can click radio.
Or you can click
depending on your ability or laziness or both.
Do you want me to spell radio?
Congruency of the two.
Okay.
No, don't spell radio.
Okay.
They don't have to even know how to spell it because they can just click it.
I think I got the keyboard shortcut of the week right this week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick quiz.
Okay.
How do you print something?
Control P.
And how do you paste something?
Control V.
All right.
Yes.
Good. So, you have a keyboard shortcut this week?
Yeah, keyboard shortcut of the week is F1.
F1.
Right. Yeah, if you hit F1 in almost most big programs, if you hit F1, it'll bring up the help menu for that program.
Right. It'll bring up Windows help if you're not in a program,
right.
But for anything that's written properly for Windows, it would bring up that program that you have open. It would bring up its associated help file or files.
Right. And if you're at your desktop, it'll bring up the Windows help. And you can find an unlimited amount of information on the program or Windows.
That may or may not be helpful.
Right, exactly.
But it's a good place to start if you have a question
of
about
course.
How do I, in whatever program, just try the help files.
Now, actually figuring out how to traverse that help menu, that's a whole other.
Well, they make it simple. They have like a table of contents view, they have like an index view, and they have like a search kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you can just search. Yeah, it's cool.
So if you can choose depending on which you like, the method you like, and usually peruse the help files.
Yep.
The F1 files, we may call them, in that way.
And that is the F1 key. That is not the F key plus the 1 key.
No, and the F1 key, just for those of you keeping score, generally is located in the upper left-hand kind of quadrant of your keyboard. It's real close to that oops or escape key, right?
Exactly.
Escape.
Yep.
Escape. I like that word. Anyway, let's get back to the phones now and see if we can help out Peter, who has a wireless internet not connecting question, and he needs to turn his radio down.
Hey, you guys are terrific. I've got a real problem here. I've got a beautiful computer, and I am a true computer geek. I applied for a JCPenney credit card when I was about 7 years old and got a TI-99/4A, and I've just kept on since then, but I'm stuck now.
Wow.
For my birthday in November, I got a beautiful Toshiba satellite computer with Windows XP. The problem is right now, I had been connecting wirelessly without any problem to my computer at home, and then I went to my mom's house, and luckily her neighbors have wireless internet, so I had no problem connecting.
Lucky for you, huh? And yeah, let me guess, they just pulled it out of the box and plugged it in, and it all worked for you because they didn't put any kind of security on it.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly. And I made them aware of it, so it's all on the good side. But the problem here is I went back to New York for a bit, had a family emergency, took my computer back there, and was able to get online somehow there. I came back home to Arizona, and I am completely stuck. I cannot get on the internet for anything. And what I've done is probably stupid, is I've gone and I've like created new profiles and I've tried to do different things, and I have a number of profiles set up now to connect like wirelessly, but I'm not picking up. I'm like picking up the signals, but I can't connect. I'm doing something wrong.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you could walk me through some of the steps, or at least get me going.
Sure. The first thing you want to consider is that your notebook, maybe when it was back east, picked up kind of a New York accent. And so maybe it's just a communication issue. No. Actually, what you want to try, first thing is what I would do as soon as I'm having a problem connecting with a notebook, is I would go back to the wireless access point, and I would set it back to its factory default settings, which we normally recommend you don't use, but we kind of add to that don't use long term. So I would set that back to whatever its default is, and usually you can do that either through some kind of little setting in the interface for it, or there's a reset button, but you get that thing set back to factory defaults with no WEP security, which is wired equivalent privacy, right? You turn off WEP, you turn off any kind of MAC filtering, you set it back to the standard name, standard SSID, all that kind of stuff. So now you get this thing really dumbed down to as simple as possible. Then you take your PC and see if you can connect to that. If you can, then you go ahead and turn back on the settings and set the thing back up for all the privacy and get the link reestablished, and life goes on.
All right.
So if you can't do that, then that means you've got some kind of issue either with your access point or your wireless NIC that's in your PC. Now, the fact that it connects to others, we'd kind of say, let's put that one on the back burner for a minute. Let's look at your access point. Either there's something that physically went wrong with it, which is not real likely but possible, or it's using the same SSID or channel as another access point of somebody else that moved in the neighborhood, or somebody got a new cordless phone for Christmas, or something happened. So
sometimes when I ask the there's like a connectivity doctor in there, I press that and it shows like the access point and if I'm connecting and whatnot, and it gives a recommendation that says make sure that your SSID matches something called WEP, like WEP. And so I go to that portion of the profile for, like, the Atheros, I believe that's the wireless adapter, and I change it from disabled to WEP. I kind of, like, follow every instruction it's telling me to do, and nothing seems to work, so.
Yeah, I would just start back with the basics, the way it comes out of the box, and see if you can get it to work there. If so, you know the hardware's working fine. It's just a configuration issue. And bottom line, to get things to work in wireless world, the settings on your access point and the settings with your wireless network card both have to match. So whatever you do on one has to be duplicated in the other. And if you're using different brands of those two products, it's not always as easy to duplicate those things because they're going to have different interfaces and work a little bit differently.
So start from scratch.
That's what I would do.
Yep.
Well, very much.
All right, good luck with
you
that.
Guys,
oops, we're having some sound problems and issues. So good luck with that, Peter, and hope that solves your problem. If not, you know where to find us next week. We're here, of course, each and every week from 12:20, which is a weird time, but it's because we follow Paul Harvey, up till 2 o'clock. It is the Computer Corner. Chad Pyle across from me. I'm Brandon Disney. We're going to be back after this short break right here on News Radio 620 KTAR. The Sonata.